Hello, and good day to you from episode 20 of our podcast series, Project Breakaway, a metaphorical and literal time in the day when we here at Predator Cycling take some time away from working in the back shop to come and share with our listeners what we're doing, how we're doing it, what it takes to do it, our ideas, our innovative success stories, and even our missteps and failures. If you find yourself with an interest in bicycles, composite manufacturing, out-of-the-box design, or even curiosities beyond, I encourage you to stick with us, settle in, and learn a little. I'm Courtney B., co-owner and project manager of Predator Cycling. I'm here with my partner, Aram Goganian, the other co-owner, CEO, lead designer and engineer, and virtual superhero at Predator Cycling.
What?
How's it going, Aram?
Great. I'm a superhero.
Superheroes. Da-da-da-da. So good morning.
Good morning.
Good congested morning.
Yes.
You're both sick again
in
the never-ending year of sicknesses.
Yes. Luckily, it's not COVID.
No, it's not COVID, but it's daycare stomach bug followed by daycare head cold and earache followed by, I guess this is now daycare sinus cold. I don't know.
Yeah, it hit last night.
But it's just, oh, God. I just want to be healthy. Anyway, let's try and get through this episode, which I think is a heavy episode in the sense of the topic. And I don't know how fuzzy my brain is, so let's try and open her up.
I think you'll be just fine.
Okay. So we were intending on having a guest, Mike Geyer from NVIDIA, on this episode to talk about a product that they have that we're really interested in taking on and seeing what we can do with it in the future. But we ran into a few scheduling conflicts. Yeah. So we decided to focus this episode on the same topic, but more from what we think the product is, how we can use it, how we can manipulate it, enhance it, and work it into our world here. And then hopefully next week we get Mike on the horn. Does anyone say that anymore?
I don't know.
We're getting him on the virtual horn so that we can have an NVIDIA professional explain the product from the, you know, company side as opposed to our customer side.
Yeah. It's always interesting, too, to see the different perspectives on how the software or, you know, the product is perceived to be.
Yes.
So
the product that we were talking about, I never heard of until, I don't know if you ever heard of it until they brought it to our attention, but it's called Omniverse.
Yeah, they debuted it. I think it was released at GTC last year. So I had heard of it, but didn't know. I didn't really think it was applicable to us. I didn't think it was something that we would use. And then actually, when I was doing another talk with Mike, Mike brought it to my attention again and was kind of like, you should really look at this. And then I kind of took a little bit of a deeper dive into trying to understand it. And anyways, it's pretty cool.
Okay. Well, let me tell you about my deep dive.
Yes.
So Omniverse in the Marvel comic world is described as a collection of every universe, the multiverse, the megaverse, dimensions and realms. In NVIDIA's world, they describe it broadly as a multi-GPU real-time simulation and collaboration platform for 3D production based on a collaboration of Pixar's Universal Scene Description and NVIDIA's RTX technology. So basically, instead of a melting pot of crossovers between Wolverine and Batman and Luke Skywalker, and I don't know, like Fred Flintstone, where timelines and continuity don't exist, it's more like a conglomeration of different design apps all interconnected into a 3D ecosystem. And that's my explanation.
And that's the episode. Thanks, guys. I mean,
okay.
I think that summed it up.
I mean, that's a lot. I did the Marvel or the superhero. What's the word I'm looking for?
Analogy.
There you go. I almost said parallel. Same thing, kind of. Anyway, analogy, because that's easier for my brain to comprehend.
Yeah, well, I mean, it makes sense, and your description is actually really good. I really like it. It's honestly probably the best description of it I've heard yet. But yeah,
I want you to describe your best definition of what Omniverse is and what it's trying to do.
So Omniverse is kind of like there's a couple different aspects of it. One of it that intrigues me, there's two parts of it that really are intriguing, but one of the really cool parts is that it's a collaboration. They talk about collaboration a lot, and it's really cool because what they're trying to do is they have these connectors that connect to different softwares. And you kind of touched on this. And you can actually edit stuff in the native software and it will update live in Omniverse. So it's kind of like this. I think they call it the Nucleus, which is their server.
So yeah. So according to their website, they have five key parts of Omniverse, which is the Nucleus, Connect, Kit, which I believe is to create your own apps and extensions, Simulation, which has its own physics solvers, which we'll discuss, and an RTX renderer. So let's go through that. So starting with the Nucleus.
Yeah. So like, I mean, our approach is basically the idea that we have a Nucleus, which is kind of like a big file server.
And then also, sorry to interrupt, they said that before all that on the website, they talk about a USD file format,
yes,
which I assume is incorporated into all five of those parts.
Yes. And like, so like, for instance, for me, USD was not, I mean, it's relatively new.
And USD is what?
It's a, it stands for Universal Scene Description.
It's made okay. By Pixar. So that's the Pixar's.
That's Pixar's.
Let me look at my notes. What did I say it was? Pixar.
Yeah, it's
Pixar's Universal Scene Description.
So
that's just a file format.
That's USD is a file format. And what's cool about USD, back up just a little bit. So the idea of Omniverse is to basically, or at least how I perceive it, is to make a virtual world that's interconnected with software. So we have different softwares we build bicycle parts in, we build machine parts, we build all kinds of stuff we design. Those things all exist in the real world.
Yeah.
Now they can exist in Omniverse. And the cool thing is that as I'm building something, it can be linked to Omniverse and be updating. So I could have for instance, we could make a virtual version of our shop, which we actually already have. We have a CAD model of our entire shop with all our machinery in it. We could load that into Omniverse, and as I'm working on a new machine, that machine could update inside of Omniverse.
So what I'm picturing is you're taking all of your little softwares.
Yeah.
And you can, like, I'm picturing The Sims.
Yes.
I'm picturing The Sims in a machine shop, like your machine shop.
Yes. Yes. I mean, essentially, yes, that's the idea. And the thing that makes it cool is, let's say, for instance, I'm designing something in Rhino. I'm doing some surface work in Rhino, and you are referencing that surface or that part inside of I'm designing a surface in Rhino and you're designing something else in Fusion, and those are both living inside of Omniverse. As you and I are both making changes, it is updating in Omniverse. So it could be this, for me, I'm thinking of it as this. We use all these different tools. It's like a interconnected network of all of our different tools could all live inside of Omniverse. It could basically be our asset storage system in the future. Like all of our assets, like we use Fusion a lot, we use Fusion Cloud, but we could start linking it into Omniverse. So when we use Rhino or we use, a Photoshop to do like photo editing of like pictures of some of our products, those things could all coexist in Omniverse.
Uploaded into the...
Into the Omniverse.
Into the realm. But this goes across multiple industries. This is not just...
Hence the reason I didn't think it was very relevant to us when I first saw it.
Did you think it was more... Because when I hear Pixar, I'm like, oh, it's movies and animation. Yeah,
that's exactly what I thought.
Which I'm thinking like, oh, Mike Wazowski is jumping through.
Exactly.
To, you know.
Well, and that's the thing.
He's in the up world now.
The demos that they were doing, that's what they showed. They showed the Marble demo, which maybe we can put a link on our post for the thing. It's super cool. They show this like marble dropping down this like row and hitting things and knocking stuff over, and it's like super cool, and it's like, wow, that's amazing, but like, what am I gonna do with it?
So for their example, it's because they, I'm sure, all sorts of engineers and designers and animators use multi software.
Yep.
And they all bring it all together to make their movie.
And so where Omniverse gets interesting is, one, you have that functionality where you have this data link of software and things that interconnect to bring stuff in. But the other thing that makes it really powerful is that you can it's virtual reality. I mean, it's essentially you're building yourself this interactive space.
So you could technically look at your screen and see like, okay, so you could look and see like our shop, like we've made a whole recreation of our shop, and you could see like a little person, like a sim, like I said, walking, but you could also slap on some VR goggles and become that first person.
Yes, you could do it inside of that. It's called Cloud XR, which we've been experimenting with outside of Omniverse, which basically is a VR portal that you could experience that VR, you put VR goggles on and be immersed into.
Which people are using for like training, which has been around for a while. Like I'm a grocery store clerk and I need to learn how to scan.
So exactly.
So Omniverse. Which would have been nice when I worked at a big box store.
Yeah.
And I was put on cashier and I was given one laminated sheet to learn how to do my job. And
so now you can do that with like augmented reality where you have like glasses, like Lenovo just came out with their new glasses or augmented glasses. So you could have those on, and within Omniverse, you have in your entire supermarket built, and you could have an interface that builds in.
Or like medical. I know the medical industry is doing that to like learn how to be a surgeon. It's kind of like when I had a Wii. I was learning how to do stitches and I had the thingies.
It's similar. I mean, it's the same concept. And anyway, so Omniverse is that virtual thing. And one of the things that they built Omniverse for, to my understanding, was to train, I believe it's Isaac, which is their robotic control systems, their whole AI system for robots and autonomous, like autonomous vehicles, autonomous like robots that go through your shop. All of that is what they built it
Isaac,
for.
Is that like a software that you can program to any old robot? Not any old robot, but they don't have like a proprietary robot.
No, you
have like your own robot.
It's like an operating, it's an SDK for robots.
So they're trying to like, well, I'm sure they already broken into the manufacturing industry. But for some, like, so you're talking like car manufacturing, like huge manufacturing with robots and whatever. Now, talk about our small business, because we're a little A to Z manufacturer on a very, very small scale.
Right.
And that's why we were like, Omniverse, okay, whatever. And then they introduced it to us and explained how, like, we think the potential of how we would use it.
So the cool thing with Omniverse is that it's like an open platform, so you can build on top of it. And they have, you talked about it briefly, Kit.
Excuse me.
you briefly talked about it, Kit, which is basically their system where you can build everything on top of. So what?
Oh, we skipped Connect. Nucleus Connect Kit.
Right. So Connect is how it connects to a program.
Oh, okay.
So like for instance, Fusion's not supported yet, but if Fusion was supported, there would be a connector between Fusion and your Nucleus. So it would update everything from Fusion into your Nucleus.
Okay.
And then that would be accessible through things like Kit, which we use. They have a program that they built, which is called Create, which is basically you can create assets for Omniverse. So like I brought in our water bottle cage, the Genius bottle cage, and I brought in our frame, the RF20.
So Kit is like a app store, but they had like a Create app, but you can also make your own app.
So Create is the tool that you can use to make your own apps.
Okay.
And they've already made some apps for you.
Okay.
So they've made an app called Create.
And that's what you threw our stuff in.
And I use that to basically create a virtual asset of our product. So I was able to add things very similar to what I could do in KeyShot.
Mm-hmm.
So I was able to put in surfaces and textures. And
so it makes the render.
It creates a high quality render.
So you created a high quality render of our bottle cage.
Yeah.
So like in the future, if you threw in like a virtual Predator Cycling storefront, you could throw those bottle cages like on a virtual wall.
Yeah,
and I could virtually walk into the store and virtually walk up to the wall, and then if I had the fancy virtual goggles and gloves, I could pick up a virtual water bottle cage.
I don't think you can do that right now, but you can do it probably in the near future. You could. You could currently, what you could do is I could create a bike, our RF20, fully done with textures and everything built out, and it would be built in USD file format. The asset would live in a USD file.
Yeah.
And then you could, for instance, have the bike so that it has, well, we're going to talk about this in a second, but it has physics involved. So you could have it so that I could hold the bike, push the bike, and the bike would roll, and the handlebars would move as they should, and the chain would move and everything would engage correctly.
Right.
But most importantly, I could experience that. I could experience the bike in a photorealistic way in VR.
Right.
Which is really cool, and it's accessible to a small, tiny company like us.
Right.
So that makes it cool. And then, anyways, you layer physics on top of it. You layer open APIs where you can have build things with Kit so that you can maybe build like a configurator. Maybe you can build some sort of integration with our factory data, like through MQTT data that's coming in from our shop for presses, and update our Omniverse experience that way.
So if I was like a customer and I walked in and I wanted a bike and I wanted to be, I knew my measurements and then I saw your bike, and then could I update my measurements in real time on that
maybe.
Bike?
I mean, I don't know if you can do that yet, but like that's kind of where I'm going with it. For
or
some
I could literally download the data of the bike. So I guess
if we made it available, we're not going to.
Well, in theory, like I could download it and then save it for later. And then, you know, as I ponder buying a, you know, $10,000 bike in the next couple of months, I just keep reopening the file and looking at it.
Yes,
well, I guess you could just keep going to the website too.
Right. But like the interesting thing for Omniverse could be is one is the interconnectivity of the data. But then the idea of like, imagine our shop. So we have two machines right now that are fully in smart machines. So we're actually capturing data on them. They're updating data. We don't use MQTT, but we can to log the data. And I believe Omniverse will take in MQTT data, which is what most robotic systems use.
Uh-huh.
It's just a send-receive message. So we could send, for instance, information to Omniverse saying like, hey, Platin is open. Hey, Platin is hot. And that could update. So you could, in VR, look at our shop and see that the Platin is up and down.
Yeah. So I wouldn't even have to come in the back.
No. And the thing is,
I just log on and see everything virtually on my computer.
Exactly. And then on top of that, you could actually update it through Omniverse. You could build an interface where you could actually update like, oh, like the temperatures are off, or oh, this machine's not running, or oh, this machine needs to do this. And we could actually start building interconnectivity.
And in a happy world where I had lots of money and robots, I wouldn't even have to come in the back. I could just
so then
watch
you could
the
start
robots doing my job for me.
Where it gets really interesting is now you have the ability to, you have this virtual version of your shop, essentially a digital twin of your entire shop that's linked. So
this
it's
a movie,
updated.
Right? This has been a movie that's been done.
I don't know. Maybe
the robots are doing everything. I don't know. I'm not a big sci-fi person.
But like the idea is, like, so now you have this virtual version of your shop. It's constantly updating. So now if you were going to train robots in your shop, you wouldn't have to come into the shop to train them. You could virtually train them in Omniverse with the software. And obviously in their case, you want to use Isaac. And then once that's done, you could basically implement and deploy them. And once those are implemented and deployed, then they're just running in the shop. Or if you had, for instance, a new employee and you wanted to train them, instead of putting them in the back of the shop with $10,000 bikes all over the place and, you know, expensive machinery.
You put them in the back with $10,000 robots.
No, you put them Wait, inside of, you put
your
them
new
in
employee
Omniverse.
Is a robot. Why are you training them? Just upload.
No, but like if you had somebody coming in to run the shop or you wanted to train them, you could then actually have them train with, you know, in VR. And experience a shop and understand how everything works.
Right.
Before they went in the back of the shop,
yeah.
Where you could actually, you know, lose product or something could get damaged or someone get hurt. That training could happen there, and we could learn things about what's going on in the shop. Anyways, it's cool.
So talk about the physics solvers, because you use physics solvers in Ansys product.
Yes.
So what's the difference?
So the difference here is that you're talking about physics in the sense. Well, so it does a lot of physics similar to Ansys. It has flow, it has gravity, it has some structural stuff, but it's not doing things like Ansys is doing in the finite like analysis. So like we're not looking at structures. So for instance, we talked about gravity. So like we can make assemblies and movement and joints in Omniverse so that a bicycle will work the way it should. Gravity acts the way it should. If you know you lean the bike up and you touch the bike, it tips over and falls. And when it hits the ground, it bounces and falls correctly.
Mm.
Or the chain engages correctly because the chain is pushing against the chain rings and it's you know, pulling against the cassettes and the gears are all moving.
So it needs the physics solvers built in. Like, so if you're showing me a bike and you said you wanted to like roll it over to me virtually, it needs to know.
It needs physics in order to know how to, how all the properties are going to interact with each other, or like the air pressure in a tire. So when you sit on the bike, the tires go down. How much do they go down? How much do they deflect? Things like that it needs to know. So it has solvers to do
but
that.
You have to set that up for each like little thing.
Yeah, it's and it's not as it's. I've started to play with it a little bit. It's actually pretty intuitive the way it works, and you can set it up pretty quick. But now I couldn't do something like, for instance, it's not designed. The physics solvers that it has are not designed to do something like we're doing with the Genius bottle cage, where we're using topology optimization.
It's not AI driven.
It may be, I don't know what underlying drives it, but it's not going to run things like topology optimizations and like really heavy things like that, or do like failure structural testing on like materials
so
and material properties.
So it's not doing testing,
it's just doing, it's a physics
regular
solver.
Regular movement.
Yeah, and it also does, I think they just released explosion, so you can like have like something explode now and like the physics involved in explosions, it does flow, like, so like how like water drops. Okay. One of the things I've been playing with is a water, our Genius bottle cage, and then having a water bottle with water inside of it.
Oh, yeah.
And so when you put the bottle cage, when they put the bottle into the bottle cage, the water
moves
and moves. That's what I've been doing for fun to try and learn how to use it better.
Yeah, that's what I do for fun too.
Well, I'm just trying to learn how to use it. So
then the last of the five is the RTX Renderer, which they say is built on Pixar's Hydra architecture. These are very superhero-y words.
It is. It's the tech industry.
So basically that means that the renderer does not raster size before, which allows for very large scenes to be handled in real time.
Yeah, NVIDIA has put a lot of energy and money into real-time ray tracing.
I don't know what that means, but I was telling RM yesterday the way I understood it. Because I, believe it or not, I actually have a degree in film and video production. And we had to do an editing class, which I'm not an editor, but it was required. And so you'd sit in the lab at Ohio University, and you would, you know, you'd render your shots,
right.
And you'd sit there. And I remember before you could even watch it, you'd have to render your shot, which back in, you know, 2006 took forever. So you would hit render before you wanted to watch literally a 10-second clip.
Yeah.
And then you'd go away. And you'd come back and, you know, someone had tripped over a wire and everything was unplugged and you had to start over. And you were trying to save it to a 20-pound external hard drive. I think it was like Western something something.
Western Digital.
And it was like 4 gigabytes. And it was horrible. I had to carry it around my book bag. Anyway, so basically you had to raster or render everything. And what this is telling me is that I wouldn't have to do any of that.
You wouldn't have to rasterize it beforehand.
I could watch my 10-second clip.
Yeah, in real time.
Without having to watch these little pixel boxes and it's slow. Yep. And
well, and leave alone, I mean, don't even talk about the fact of the hardware that you have now that you could do it in like milliseconds.
Yeah, your RTX A6000.
Oh, yeah. It's and so...
And you're saving it on not the 4 gigabyte external hard drive. You're like having like... Terabyte. I don't even know terabytes like existed on that level of college editing at that time.
It probably did. It was just astronomically expensive.
It was for the rich kids.
Well, not even the kids' studios. but yeah, no, it's the performance of it's pretty crazy. I mean, it's very fast.
So how do you use that?
We've been using it in Kit. Kit, which is built on, we use Create. And I've been using their path tracing and ray tracing. So basically, ray tracing is following light and how light bounces off something, and it's basically creating the path.
So what did you throw in the cage?
The cage
or the bike?
Both. Okay. I've done both, and I've been rendering a couple of those render shots that actually we've used on some of our marketing stuff is done with Omniverse.
Okay.
Was done in Omniverse and rendered in Omniverse.
So we've only done like rendered like still virtual.
I haven't done any animation.
Like, animation or like
that's what I'm working
real
on.
Real live. Can you? I'm sure you could just add animation to like a live action shot.
Right? Yeah,
you can go all Roger Rabbit.
No? Yeah, you could. I don't know. I'm sure you could. I don't know how you would do it. I'm sure the
film industry is really like taking this off. Like,
I'm sure.
But I watched some of the. I didn't watch them. I looked over your shoulder at some of the videos of like how it's used in manufacturing.
Yeah. Or how BMW did one. They did a really good presentation at GTC, which I was super psyched for.
Yeah, they like built out their floor plan of their factory, and they had the little people like and the little robots moving back and forth. Yep. Like shows you exactly how things are made.
It's super cool,
which is cool. Which I'm really curious if that's how it's actually done, because they don't show like one like a machine broken down on the floor and like three people working on it.
No, but like real life. It's very interesting how people are using it and how people are leveraging this kind of tech. And that's what I'm really excited for. I mean, because, you know, we've talked about several times in the podcast about how we've introduced simulation and how it's completely changed the game for us. But now imagine like setting up our shop virtually in Omniverse, setting up products in Omniverse and like interconnecting everything together, experiencing it, and even like test trying processes and stuff in it. Like, I don't know. I really think that
So if we had all the monies in the world and the time and the help, what the hell would we do with this?
The first thing I would do is I would move in all of our products, every single product, every component, and I would move everything into Omniverse and actually properly create the material properties and everything for it. First thing is I would do that. And then I would start moving in the entire shop. And I'd put the whole shop and recreate it inside of Omniverse and then data link all of our assets with the data that's coming off the machines. So that we could grab all of our force load settings, everything that we have. Because we have, I mean, all of our products that we build, we actually do composite layup orientation for. We do fiber material properties. We do simulations of. I would start taking all of that data that I can and put it all into Omniverse and recreate our entire shop with it and interconnect it with all the data.
But then your wish list of what you could possibly do with this in the future, and then, when we're bazillionaires.
Yeah, so then once I have that, then I could actually start building automation systems into it. So I would be using tools like probably like Isaac, and I would probably
start adding the big robots.
I would start adding robots that
like
would
Big Hero 6 would be sitting here working with us, right?
Yeah, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He needs to come heal me.
Yeah, so like we'd have things like that where we could actually start designing systems where we have, like, for instance, one of the things that's a lag for us currently is loading, unloading our 3D printers and getting them to finishing and curing them and treating them and doing all of those processes that we're doing. We could very quickly, with something like that, actually automate that out. So we could go lights out 24/7 production on print stuff. Instead of us manually reloading and loading machines.
Manually reloading, forgetting, loading, forgetting, walking away.
Yeah, I mean, like, there's definitely, like, it's not a perfect system. So, like, adding that type of automation would be huge.
Yeah.
And then imagine connecting that to, like, maybe our layup systems and, like, how we're doing our layups and automating that with vision and pick and pack so we could do, like, optimized kits pre-done for us, so we're not manually kitting things.
And I mean, there's companies out there that do this or attempting to do this.
Yeah, there's
just cool.
One company I know of that actually is attempting it.
Cool, you know, smaller companies can dream.
Yes, but no, the cool thing is that we actually have. I mean, you have the tech that's there. It's not.
Well, we have, like, the access to now.
You have the access to it.
So slowly
it's there.
By slowly, we're going to start working on it.
Yeah. I mean, we've already started putting in assets. We've already started doing stuff. We're starting to learn the software better and the back end of it. And also, NVIDIA is updating it like on a weekly basis. So more and more stuff's becoming accessible. They have WebSockets now for in Kit. So you can actually live stream. Like, you can link assets onto your website from Omniverse. You know, they're adding so much stuff all the time. So it's pretty cool.
Okay. Well, I think that we should wrap that up because that's part one.
Yes.
That's what we think Omniverse is, how we think we can use it, what we want to do with it. And I hopefully part two comes next week when, you know, the Mike Geyer comes and says, well. Yeah, so things to look forward to. We're still wanting to expand the discussion today with Mike. Maybe you can take a listen to today's episode and correct us on everything we got wrong about Omniverse, or even pat us on the back because who knows? We may have discovered something new and a cool new use case. Maybe. I don't know how smart we are.
Yeah, probably not.
And then just a quick review. The cleat adjusters page are live. They're getting updated with more instructions on how to use them, including measuring your foot angle, et cetera.
Yep.
And that's it. Is there anything else you want to add?
No. We're working on that. We're working on the manuals. And then we're also working on building out a little support system on our website so we can answer more like frequently asked questions and more instructions on, like, you know, bottle cages cleat adapters and all that kind of stuff. So yep, we're working on it.
Okay. Well, we thank you for choosing to take some time with us, and we look forward to future breakaways. Look for us on Instagram and LinkedIn, Facebook, Twitter, and in person here in Tennessee. We ask our listeners to please share, like, and subscribe. We're available on all major streaming platforms. Thanks for listening. Have a good one, and find some time to break away.